Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello, and welcome to this Holy Half Hour, here on your local radio station, 3TFM. I'm the Reverend Alec Noble, the local minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church, and I look forward to your company for the next 30 minutes. As your minister on air, I would like to have a chat with you about worship. When you hear the word worship, what comes into your mind? Congregations, singing, prayers, school assemblies, funerals, Buddhist monks chanting, or football crowds idolising their heroes and their teams? Pop fans adoring their idols, maybe? Or your attitude to someone you really fancy? You worship the ground they walk on. Bit like Vic Damone here.
But the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live. Are there lilac trees in the heart of town? Can you hear a lark in any other part of town? Does enchantment pour out of every door? No, it's just on the street where you live. Just to know somehow you are near. The overpowering feeling that any second you may suddenly appear. People stop and stare, they don't bother me. For there's nowhere else on earth that I would rather be. Let the time go by, I won't care if I can be here on the street where
as you can see, worship means many things. It's not confined to churches and holy settings. I remember standing at the Grand Canyon in America, and like almost everybody else, you find yourself standing looking into that vast arena, and there's a reverential silence, and you stand in awe and wonder. It's happened to me twice, in fact. I would describe it as nothing short of worship. On the other hand, I have walked out of a church service, twice from the same church on the same day, because I didn't find it very worshipful. I found it offensive, in fact, that a church service could be so unworshipful. Here's a song about reverential awe. So what is worship? The old English word from which we get the word worship means giving worth to, or acknowledging the worth of God. To worship anyone or anything else other than God is known in the trade as idolatry. I was not worshipping the Grand Canyon, nor nature, but the creator of nature and the creator of the canyon. Creation and all the creatures worship God in their own different ways. Here's John Denver singing about all the children of the universe.
A heritage of vision was given to us all. To smell the rose's fragrance, to hear the songbird call, to watch the distant moonlight fill the coming of the tides, to understand that life is more than always choosing sides. And some have seen what can't be seen of sailing ships and kings. And some are given feet of clay, some are given wings. Some must struggle just to breathe, some have a golden spoon. And some will never leave the nest, while some walk on the moon. Know the life that lives within the silent hills is just as rich and beautiful and just as unfulfilled as man with all his intellect, his reason and his choice. Oh, who's to say the nightingale has any less of silver dolphins twist and dance and sing to one another. The cosmic ocean knows no bounds for all that live are brothers. The whippoorwill, the grizzly bear, the elephant, the whale, all children of the universe, all weavers of the tale. yourself to sleep. The hawk flies with the morning dove, the lion with the sheep. As far away as you may go, we'll never be apart. It's in your dreams that you will know the seasons of the heart.
It's amazing to think that of all the creatures on planet Earth, human beings are the only ones who can consciously worship God. Only humans know about God and can write hymns, compose music, play instruments, and willfully praise God. Frogs can only croak, cows can only moo, even nightingales have no lyrics to go with their music, and eloquent parrots cannot direct their patter consciously to God. So when we human beings worship God, we're doing it on behalf of all the rest of creation. We are their spokespersons. When we fail to worship God, we let down our less articulate fellow creatures. Here's some very articulate praise of God from Graham Kendrick. It's also amazing to think that the chorus of praise never ceases. There is always someone worshipping God every second of the day. Indeed, millions of people all across the globe, all down the centuries, on Earth, maybe on other planets too, and in heaven, where the saints keep marching in, singing their hallelujah chorus. What a thought! The radio in our room sits silent until we switch it on, but broadcasting never ceases. It's just that we switch on to it and off from it. So in worship, we tune in to God's wavelength, sometimes more consciously than at other times. But Paul did say, pray without ceasing, and there is a sense in which we live our lives permanently in the awareness of God to greater or lesser degrees. Here's Paul Balochi singing Let It Rise.
The glory of the Lord rise.
Worship includes praising God, confessing our sins against Him, the assurance of His forgiveness, being aware of His presence, thanking Him and asking Him. If you listen carefully to public prayers, you will spot these ingredients and find that they come in that sequence. Worship can be privately in the secret of your own bedroom, or it can be family worship in the home. I was very fortunate to be brought up with family worship. Both my parents were enthusiastic Christians, so at bedtime we sat down together as a family and talked about our day over a cup of Horlicks. We read a passage from the family children's Bible, sang a few Sunday school choruses, and finished with each of us saying a little prayer. That was where I learned to pray in public, not at university. Many of the great Christians throughout history were brought up with family worship. On the other hand, a survey of 5,000 American prisoners revealed that only one of them had been brought up with family worship. 2 years later, it was discovered that he had been wrongly convicted. Family worship is a matter of life and death for individuals and for society. Eternal life and death, even. We can also worship in groups, organizations, congregations, small corporate intimate teams, or in large public collective gatherings. We can worship indoors or outdoors, in special places, at special times, but we can also worship anywhere at any time. We can worship God formally or informally, with words or in silence. The variations on the theme of worship are limitless. So here's a 400-voice choir in Glasgow's Royal Concert Hall, a praise gathering indeed.
Praise Him, the rocks will cry out.
Blessed be the King.
Hey, and if we keep silent, the earth will shout.
Blessed be the King.
Sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, sing hallelujah. Trust in Him, yeah.
Blessed be the King.
Yeah. And we are His children who worship Him.
Different branches of the church favour different styles of worship. Quakers actually like silence. The Salvation Army prefers brass band music. Roman Catholics like stained glass and incense. Pentecostals like clapping their hands and dancing. Presbyterians like to sit listening. We've all our different styles, but we all worship. However it's done, it's still an act of worship. It's hard to pin down exactly what worship is. So rather than put it into words, let me give you some mental pictures. Worship is opening up to God like a flower opening to the rising sun. Worship is like two lovers looking into each other's eyes. Worship is spiritual intercourse. Worship is spending quality time with God and God's family and ourselves. Communing together, enjoying fellowship, networking, chat rooming, surfing the web together, sitting in God's lap and bearing our souls to Him. Being like a daffodil, not doing anything, just giving God pleasure, looking at us. Worship is being the tender lamb safe in the arms of Jesus, letting Him hold us. It's cheering God to the rafters. It's coming back like the grateful leper to thank Jesus for healing us. Worship is sitting as disciples at Jesus, our Master's feet. It's anointing Jesus' feet. It's taking an oath of loyalty to Jesus, like soldiers do when they sign up. It's tuning into God's wavelength. It's chewing things over with He who is the fount of all wisdom. It's running to Daddy or Mummy. It's coming home with our tail between our legs, like the prodigal son. It's recharging our batteries. It's being recreated, renewed, and revived. The list could go on and on. Try putting worship into your own terms. The truth is that it's so rich a diamond that it has many facets, including all of the above ones. Here's another metaphor for worship. It's coming into the garden alone with Jesus, as Wendy Gracie sings. Worship should lead to changes in our lives and to practical Christian action. It works both ways. To work is to pray, and to pray is to work. Worship involves our whole being, not just a holy bit of us. It affects every aspect of our lives. We worship God by being honest and just in our dealings with others. The Old Testament prophets, such as Isaiah and Amos, had a lot to say about professing worshippers of God who simultaneously cheated their brothers and sisters. Worship affects our minds, our hearts, our imaginations, and our wills, every part of us. People so affected often go out and change the world. The battles of life are won on our knees in prayer. Then we go out and claim the victories. A short time of prayer can achieve more than many hours, years even, of trying ever harder to force things to happen in our own strength. Worship helps to keep us on track with God's will rather than our will, and gives us access to divine resources. We take time out to go to a cash machine or to ask a friend's advice, so why not turn to God? Then we'll discover that we become the channels and instruments of His will, and then we make progress. Worship is not us rubbing our lamp hard in desperation, trying to get God to be the genie of our lamp and come to our rescue to fulfill our will. Worship is humbly coming to God and offering ourselves in His service, asking that we may be conformed to His will and be of use to Him. Worship involves many different skills, which over a lifetime we try to improve. Worship requires a sense of awe and wonder, humility, honesty, repentance, acceptance of forgiveness, acceptance of God's acceptance, awareness of God's presence, thankfulness, a willingness to ask for help, a willingness to ask questions, thinking of others, listening to God, interpreting His word, discerning His will, obedience and trust. Well, our time is nearly up for this holy half hour, and also remember that when our time on earth is up, the one earthly activity that we shall carry on doing in heaven for all eternity is worship. So keep practicing, and bye for now.